Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Good evening. I pray that everyone has had a blessful day. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in our lives, what you're going to do. Thank you for the things that you've already done. I give him praise right now. I praise you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, good evening. It's glad to be back together again, to fellowship again with each other. We always start with a song in our heart, just a little short verse, and it's when praises go up, blessings come down. Hallelujah. Let's learn to truly praise the Lord together. And then when we can learn to praise, we can know how to get into a worship. Let's go ahead. I feel the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When praises go up, blessings come down. When the praises go up, blessings come down. When the praises go up, blessings come down. When the praises go up, blessings come down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you tonight. We enter the courts with thanksgiving and praise. We give you praise tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God's mercy we are thankful for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I want to start tonight, follow after the song. We're going to go ahead and follow with some scripture, get some word, and then we're going to go over the word that has been given to us for tonight. We're going to be reading tonight in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, we're going to do the 40th chapter. Very familiar passage that God has placed on our hearts to share with each and every one of you tonight. We're going to start at verse 6 and read through verse 8. Verse 6 says, "A voice said, 'Cry out,' and I said, 'What shall I cry?' Excuse me. 'All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them.'" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Surely the people are grass." Have the Lord blown on you today? Hallelujah. Of course he has. Have you acknowledged that he blown on you today? That he has blown on you today. "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Let's just dive right in here because I feel that right there. That just lets us know right there that even though God has already confirmed it for us, and when you know that you know that you know in your spirit, as I and you hopefully know, he is the Omega. He's the first, the beginning, and he's the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega, beginning and the end, and that is just awesome. It's very good to know that even in his word right here, he speaks to us just to let us know that even though he blows on us, hallelujah, and even with that breath to wake us up in the morning, we get the, that's how he is blowing on us. As it says here in Isaiah 40, verse 6 through 8, it says, "As you see the grass," when you're passing by and you see the grass blowing back and forth, the Holy Spirit is just blowing on it. No, the next time you see that tree just bending over, blowing, God is just blowing on it, and it's praising him back, saying, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." Even the grass on the ground is giving him praise. It's praising him. The rocks will cry out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, brother. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Cry out. Hallelujah. And say, We're just speaking of praise, brother, just how even the rocks will cry out and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it tells us that God is the Alpha and Omega, because it says that the grass may wither and the flowers fall, but the word of our God still stands forever, forever. There is nothing higher than he. Nothing can blow on him and make his word change. Nothing can blow on him and make a difference in his mind, in his life. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. And he, we are his grass as he blows upon us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because we come to you today in worship. Well, as we know, this is our continuation. God so fit to continue with the program from last night, which is actually Who's Driving Your Emotions. So this is the sequel, the part two of Who is Driving Your Emotions. We even presented it to you as your choice now. Now that the question has been proposed to you, now is your choice to decide and choose who do you want to be driving your emotions. Now that you've figured out that someone is driving your emotions, who do you want to be driving your emotions? We also left you with some different scriptures to go back over to try to start as a stepping stone of getting your mind set and prepared for the Lord to intercede and take the wheel from you. Sometimes we've been holding on to that wheel so tight and so long, letting someone else drive it. We're so used to them do it that it takes some time. It's a process to turn that thing, pull away from the things that you have been doing that were not of God. Getting your thoughts in line with the word, it takes something, and it takes some pulling and doing that pulling and struggling to get these things out of Satan's hands. We feel that pressure. So sometimes people say, oh, just let go and let him drive then. But we got to be in control, and we're giving you steps to start taking and maintaining. And I guarantee you on the word of God, each day you'll get stronger. Each day you'll continue to invite God to take control of driving your emotions. Hallelujah.
Right.
Yes. So, brother, we're going to I'm just going to throw out, remind us of some of the different scriptures that was given to go over for last night. Then I just want you to just jump in there with anything that you have.
Okay.
We do have, again, we remind them that we was going for Colossians 1, and that's verse 21. And I remind you, these verses, sisters and brothers, get you a little card or something and write these down. Paste them on your wall. Let it be a part of your life. As you can put them around your house, as you're upstairs, downstairs. You want this here to be in your mind, because when the thoughts that are normally taking over your mind in your car, you may not remember that verse right now, God's word. But remember, that is our sword to his word. So we need to make sure that we have it nearby us so we can tell him, God, this is your word. So we need to fix our mind on the Lord, and that's Hebrews 3:1. And now I may tell you 3:1, but you can continue. If 2 is fitting with you, those verses that come after there, go with it. Get into it and let the Lord lead you and take you how far into Hebrew that you need to go. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter 2:1. Also 2 Peter 3:1. At 1 Peter 3:1 is definitely on the keeping your mind clear of negative thoughts. We went over a lot about that last night. Much important for us. Also, our last one was last but definitely not least. It was a depraved mind. If he ever take his hands from us and just say, I'm going to let your mind take control, what a horrible state that we would be in. Our bodies could not take that. We're not capable of that. He didn't mold us that way. He is the potter, and he knows how he molds the clay and the things that we need. So we never want him to just let us go over to our own depraved minds. Romans 1:28. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all visitors. And again, I do remind everyone, you're more than welcome to call in on any of the shows. These are live shows. Please give us a call. You can call us at 1-646-652-4916. Again, that is 646-652-4916. And I do, you can always check at the www.blogtalkradio.com/evangelistvon, and you can find the dates and the times that we're on. We're on almost every night, and you can check the times for that. Well, let's get back into the Word, and brother, go ahead and let's see what God has on your heart, what's been going on in your mind today.
Yes, ma'am. Well, first, I want to say hello to all the listeners out there on Blog Talk Radio listening in on Evangelist Vaughn's show. What I wanted to do is I wanted to comment on something you spoke on the previous show when you were speaking on your emotions and being driven. And you were speaking, you said a lot of times we tend to get caught up and, you know, we think, we say, well, you know, that's just the way I am, or I act that way because, you know, that's what's driving me to act that way. But, you know, a lot of times we have to take, you know, and I'm guilty of it too at times, but we have to take a step back and say, well, you know, our will, you know, our intentions may not necessarily be God's will. You know, our wills aren't God's will. We have to, you know, look at it at a different perspective. You know, we have to submit to His will. And I know that's easier said than done. And, you know, a lot of times you may be triggered to say something or react in a certain way. You say, well, that's how I am, or that's the way I was raised, or, you know. You know, if you look at the scripture in Philippians 2 verse 8, you know, even Jesus faced these adversities. And, you know, he faced everything that we're going to face to now in today's day and age. And as difficult as it may have been, you know, the Lord humbled himself. It says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're approached, whether it's coworkers or being cut off in traffic and, you know, anything, any kind of turmoil being brought against us. And it's so easy for us just to give up, to quit, to say, well, I'm going to give in, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to say this, or I'm going to do that. And, you know, I really, really like that topic of what you said. And it is, we have to really, submit to the will of God and do, you know, do what is in His will and not our will. And I think that's very important, especially, you know, as a young adult now today, you know, not giving into your own will and your flesh, but submitting to the will of God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. How true that is, how true that is. And you're right that even to the point of death, Jesus humbled himself for us. You know, he would not come down from the cross. He humbled himself before his Father, even to the point of death.
That's right.
And, you know, there are martyrs out here that has died because of the Word. There are martyrs out here that are trying to preach the Word and let somebody know about Jesus Christ, and they're actually getting killed. But that's not an everyday offense that we hear about in our everyday society. We can't even humble ourselves enough sometimes to even go and start out with a coworker, you know?
Yeah,
we can't
right.
even, we you know? And so you're right. It said in Isaiah also, I think it was in 43, it says something, paraphrasing, it says, forget about the formal things. So you just mentioned about, you know, people said, well, hey, that's the way I was just brought up. This is just a tradition for me. But the Bible tells us that we should lean not to our own understanding of these, you know. So it tells us to forget about the former things. Do not dwell on our past of how, well, my mother never knew the Lord, and she's fine. You know, my father, he's always lived his whole life doing this and doing that. He's never needed the Lord, and he has money, and he has materialistic, and he has this and that. He doesn't need the Lord. So what are you saying? Are you saying then that you are willing to trade the materialistic things that you have now? Because sin is only fun for a minute. It only feels good for a while, but it's corrupting you on the inside. You can eat candy all day long. It may taste good for a while, but after you've ate candy for so many hours, the taste is not as sweet as it was. You never get that back like it was because you've ate so much of it, and now your teeth are starting to decay. Your stomach may start to hurt. Different things start to happen to you. So that's the mindset that people carry with them when they say, but why do I need to do any further? Are you a fanatic with it? You don't need to read your word every day, you know?
Right.
You know, well, don't judge me because I read just sometimes. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with you on that. I agree with you. I wanted to also mention something on that. But to touch on what you just said, you know, I hear that a lot, especially with young people. They say, well, you know, don't judge me, or, you know, I don't go to church every day. You know, that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not going to heaven, or that I don't leave Jesus, you know, or love Jesus. You know, I don't go to church. I don't do those things. I don't engage in, fellowshipping with others, you know. And, you know, I like to tell them, I kind of break it down, just kind of an analogy I use. I like to play a lot of basketball. I play a lot of basketball, sister. And, you know, what I tell them, I say, well, you know, I play a lot of basketball, and you pretty much get out of it what you put in. You know, you got to put in the effort. You may not go to practice a lot. You may not go to practice at all. You may not sharpen your skills or take time to individually practice or anything like that. You know, it doesn't mean that you're not a basketball player or anything like that. But, you know, when it comes to game time, that coach looks down that bench and says, I'm going to select who's going to, enter in the game, or who's going to be a part of this basketball game. Well, you know, you can't expect to get in that basketball game, to be selected to get in that game. You know, you haven't put yourself in that position. You haven't been sharpening your skills. You haven't been out there, practicing and doing what you like to do on the basketball court. I kind of like using that in regards to the word. Sure, you can love the Lord and not go to church, but, you know, what are you getting out of that? Are you bettering yourself? So, you know, when Jesus calls upon you, says, you know, he may want you to go speak to someone else or minister his word, or put his word out there. And if you're not in your word, if you're not sharpening your skills as a Christian, you know, then what good are you? Then what are you doing? How are you going to expect to get, you know, called in when Jesus needs you if you're not putting what you need to be putting into it? You know, I think that's very important, again, for younger audiences today.
Let me feed on that. And, you know, let's take it a step further. Why just go into the church and not be active in doing something that's productive to grow? Why get up and dress yourself to go sit on the bench to see what somebody else got on? Why get the word and get full? If your pastor is giving you the food you need, you get full from the word of God, and then you go and just go back to your house and keep it to yourself, just getting fat on the word. God said he wants you to share that thing. If your city is not changing and you got the most powerful thing going on, but you don't see no changes in your community, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And one more thing, brother, and then I want you to touch on this here, because as that young view of things, I'm sure you see it too, the people say, well, I'm not prepared to go out and tell him. I'm afraid if I run up to him and tell him this and that about the Lord, he's going to ask me something that I can't answer. You know, but the Bible tells us to come to him. He said, I'm not going to put more on you than you can bear. People sometimes look at that in different angles. But you know what? That even stands for this situation. He's going to take you over here to somebody who knows nothing. What you know is a monstrous thing compared to what somebody else's know. If you go over there to somebody who's been studying the Bible for 50 years, if God tells you to go over there, all you got to do is release you and invite God to take over, and his word is speaking to his children. It's not so much of us. He just wants to, we are his mouthpiece. But his voice is dwelling inside of us to talk to his children. We have to remember, he is the creator. We're his creatures. Hallelujah. Talk on that for a minute, brother.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with you. You know, it says in Genesis 1, verse 27, says, you know, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, both male and female he created them. And a lot of times I think that's very important because, you know, nowadays, again, I keep touching on the younger audience. The younger audience out here today, you know, us young individuals, a lot of people say, well, hey, they've gotten comfortable in the life of sin. They say, I choose to fornicate. I choose to have, you know, multiple sexual partners. At least I'm using protection, or at least I'm not out killing people. At least, you know, I do this drug and it's mild, or at least I drink at home, I don't drink and drive. I get drunk every day, but, you know, they've gotten comfortable with the way that they live, and they don't understand that. So I think Genesis 1, that verse is very important. You know, God created man in his own image. You know, we were created with in the image of God with these purities. And, you know, when the Lord created us, we didn't have those impurities. Those things aren't natural. Those things don't agree with the Lord. And, you know, if you look at it in that context, I don't see how it's so hard to understand that those things aren't in agreement with the Lord and, you know, with what is right. And people say, well, you know, I do these things. These things are okay. It's just who I am. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't think I'm sinning. I don't think I'm committing any kind of crime or problem or anything like that. And, you know, we kind of have to refer to the Word. And, you know, we have to look at it, you know, take it for what it is.
Amen. Lean into our own understanding again. So we choose not to be in control or not to give our emotions over to the Lord, because we think, oh, well, I'm going to have to stop doing this, and I'll enjoy doing this, you know. I'm going to have to stop doing that. Oh, you know, well, I really enjoy doing that. If I give it over to the Lord, you know, it's going to be boring, you know. But my Bible tells us, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Unless you taste it, you can't tell me what it tastes like, you know. You got to dive all the way in there 100%, getting your thoughts in line with the Word. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Getting your thoughts in line with the Word. We got a few more minutes, brother. Anything else that's been on your mind? I know that even for you and I, you know, Satan still tries to tempt us and get in our thoughts with different things. And I, you know, just quickly here, just to let you know that God said, hey, you just keep reaching out there and for whatever position that you're acquiring or whatever it is that someone may be thinking, oh, is this the right thing? Should I go? Should I apply for this? Is this not it? Is this? But God said he just wants you to keep moving. He'll let you know if this is it or not. If it's not, hey, you got another check mark because you were trying, not because
That's
you right. sat down and thought about, oh, I wonder, could I have done this or should I have made this move? But you went up and tried to make that move. So keep moving forward. And you know what? Because in all of it, he's going to get the glory. As long as he's going to get the glory out of all of it. Hallelujah.
That's right. That's right.
We
got
a few minutes left here. Go ahead and give us about 3 minutes of it.
Okay. Just in closing, I really, really want to stress the importance of what you said, you know, about who's driving our emotions, who's driving us, period. And, you know, we really have to make that decision and say, you know, we're going to turn away from these things. And it doesn't necessarily have to, you know, your mother, your father, your sister and brother, you know, they may have been set in certain ways and they may be, you know, the way they are. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, you know, travel down that road or kind of glorify that. They say, well, did you see how, you know, she told him or she told him that or she said this, you know. You know, it speaks about that in the Word as well.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 24, verse, what is it? It says, I think it's verse 2, it says, or verse 1. It says, do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. You know, it also says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 15, it says, by long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. So, you know, you can be gentle. You know, things are, there's a way to say things. There's a way to go about doing things. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to, you know, follow the same path of those who you know, around you or loved ones or anything. And, you know, again, I refer back to it. It says, our will is not always going to be God's will. You know, just as humans in flesh, you know, you can want to do one thing and it'll God will be wanting you to do another thing. And we just have to learn to submit to his will and listen to what the Lord is saying and, you know, applying, you know, an application is doing what we hear, you know, what we hear God's word and we have to apply it. And, you know, we just, you know, I tell all those young people out there, just repent. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'll sin, you know, I sin, you know, we're all going to sin. You know, I know I'm going to go out and do this tomorrow. They plan ahead. They say, I'm going to go out and do this or that tomorrow, next week, and I'll just ask for forgiveness and God will forgive me. The Lord will forgive me. But, you know, we have to understand that we must repent and be sorry for our sins before we can do work for the Lord. You know, we really have to repent and really be sorry and really want to turn away from those sins. And then, you know, we can go on and do work for the Lord. And, you know, if you don't do that, you know, you're kind of selling yourself short. So I'll close out on that, Evangelist, and I appreciate the time. And that's
it's an honor. I'm going to let you give those scriptures to all of the people just one more time. I just want to just remind everyone that getting your emotions in line and your thoughts in line with the word is not as hard as you may think. You know what? You just need freedom. And Jesus said in John 8:36, he said that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So you know how it is. Sometimes you're struggling. You think, I'm going to do this. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to put this drink down. I'm going to put these cigarettes down. And, you know, you got it done for a week or 3 days or whatever it is, and you're back to it again. But he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So let's stop playing, people, and let's go ahead and get freedom and break these yokes and get to some new things. And why not allow God to just set your emotions in line with his word? Come on, people. I know we can do it. Come on. Let's go ahead and take that step. I challenge you to take
that step.
And you will be amazed at yourself for how God's peace will keep you calm during your next insult, during the next traffic jam, or your next disappointment. I challenge you. Come on. I know we can do it. Let's take that step. We're getting ready to close out here. I do remind you, we would love to hear from you. I'm Evangelist Vaughn and Brother JD. We'll be here for you every night. You can check us every week. Look at our schedule.
Amen.
We want you to come, and we want to hear from you. Call in. Let's get involved in this. If you have something on your mind, let's talk about it. Let's break it down. Again, that call-in number is 646 area code, and then it's 652-4916 it is for you. 4916. Is that right, President?
Correct.
Correct.
Right,
4916.
Correct.
And then just give us a call. I also do remind you that you can go to the www.blogtalkradio.com/Evangelist Vaughn Dumas. And Brother JD, do you have the scriptures for us?
Yes, those scriptures that I referenced, they were going to be, that's Proverbs 24 chapter, and it was verse 1. Actually, that's 1 through 3 that I referred to, and also Proverbs chapter 25, I'm sorry, Proverbs 24, chapter 24, verses 1 through 3, and also Proverbs chapter 25, verse 15, I also referred to here at the end.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I just remind you that the tongue is a deadly weapon. Don't think that you can stop it on your own. In James 3:6-8, it tells us that no man can tame the tongue. You need to turn this thing over to the power of the Lord. And I leave another scripture with you, 1 Peter 14, and then go to Galatians 5:1. Sisters and brothers, we will see you very soon. In the midnight hours, remember, you can call and you can talk to the Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We see we do have another caller on the line. I thank you. And the next time we'll be back with everyone. We hope to see you then. In the meantime, again, we close out with a song in our heart. We say, Jesus, we love you. You are my friend. Jesus, you are. From beginning to end, Jesus, we love you. We love you. Caller, did you want to announce your name?
Yes. Good evening, Evangelist, and also the gentleman, man of God. This is Minister Roslyn Jennings from the Power Forgiveness Show. Just enjoying it, and it's so true how we have to hold on to the word of God to bring healing, deliverance, and comfort as well.
Hallelujah. Yes, sister. Yes, sister. So glad you could join us. We look forward to being with everyone again. And anytime, we're going to get into some more things. Remember next to check for our schedule for the later part of the week. And then Brother JD on next Monday is when I think we was doing the Psalms 23, when we were just going to go through there and just see what God has on there for you. Because there's some different things. We as believers and we as his children has to know the word and know how we can relax, especially, like you said, in the time with the young people right now. So much going on. It's so many people who don't even, they've grown up in their household. They've never heard the word of God. They're leaving their parents' house, coming out into this world with nothing on them. They're naked. They have nothing on them to protect them. And that's what the word is. All right, sisters and brothers, that does close it for us tonight. You do all have a great night. Please join us again. God bless you.
Love
you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bless you.